Hello and welcome to Intuitive Insights. I am your host, Megan McDonough. This is where we talk and discuss all things intuition, hoping that you can gain some insight for you and how you can use your innate intuitive creativity in your life to be in better flow. This week, I have an interview with my friend, Kirsten Askins. As you will see, she is very knee-deep in all spiritual arts, and we are discussing how she, as a yoga teacher, an astrologer, a Reiki master, is able to weave intuition and creativity into her life. Here is this week's message. This week, we are talking with my friend, Kirsten Askins. She has been a student of astrology and yoga since she was 18. She's now in her late 50s. Both of those artistic expressions in the 80s did not have the formal training. So she sought out teachers on her own and apprenticed to learn one-on-one. We call it guru cool style in yoga. And since that time, she has grown in practitioners and trainers. And over the years, Kirsten has completed formal schooling in both astrology and yoga and considers each lifelong commitments of practice, learning, and teaching. Kirsten feels that all art is a way of to know yourself and to connect to your higher self, and has always been drawn to astrology and yoga as tools to wholeness and wellness. Kirsten is also a certified aromatherapist, Reiki master teacher, tarot reader, and is currently learning herbalism from the East and the West. In 2011, she and two other committed teachers opened Hanu Yoga Studio and Holistic Arts Center, located in downtown Barnegat, New Jersey, which I've been to, and it's a fabulous studio. At Hanu Yoga, you can find yoga, astrology, Reiki, tarot, acupressure, and sound meditations as a way to know yourself and be amongst others who wish to do the same. Welcome, Kirsten.
Hi.
How are you?
Awesome. Wonderful. How about you?
I'm good. Now that my mouth is functioning properly, I was having a hard time spitting out words earlier.
Happens to all of us.
Yes. So on this podcast, the purpose of it was to let everyone know, and it sounds like we're on the same page, that we are all intuitive beings. We are all creative beings. I have this theory that we're hybrid beings, you know, so we have our physical body and we have our energetic body. And we do a lot of things to maintain, to rejuvenate, to keep healthy our physical body, like eating properly, exercising, rest when we're out of battery. And our energetic body doesn't always get the same amount of attention. I feel like now there's more opportunities and ways in which to revitalize our energetic body. But in the past, like when you and I were growing up, there wasn't a lot of options, you know, like, you know, I said in your intro, you had to seek it out. So, and I also believe that we all are on a spiritual journey, whether or not we know it or not. So my first question to you is, what and how did you come about your spiritual journey and evolution? Like, what do you remember, what the inciting incident was that put you on this path?
I remember I wasn't really raised with in a religion, so to speak, although there was Catholicism around me through my grandparents. Neither of my parents were churchgoers, so to speak. But I remember around 13 or 14 needing a God connection, wanting to have no God in some way. And I approached my mom about it, and she kind of passed me off to my grandmother, who was already attending church. you know, Catholic Church. And I did have to go back. I kind of retraced all the steps that you have to do to be in the Catholic Church, meaning, I mean, I had the baptism, but I did like the CCD and the communion and all of that stuff. But then again, I felt like that there was a failure there for me. You know, I'd ask questions in my CCD classes to the nuns, and they were like, don't ask questions, just trust. And that didn't resonate for my mind. I mean, there is some sense of trust, but there's certain questions I had that I wanted answers to. And I did have a member of my family who was very religious, not Christian, but I can't remember the term, but ultra religious. And I kind of learned a lot from them, but also said, yeah, something's not clicking. So I reached out to, I grew up on the Jersey Shore. I went to school, to college at NYU, and there, you know, it's the mecca of the world of cultures. You know, walking around New York, talking to Buddhists, talking to Hindus, studying astrology. I found a teacher who was teaching astrology to NYU and Columbia students, and have continued to grow since then, just learning. I feel like I learn from all the different religions, which we all can do. And just take what is true for me.
So that sounds so similar to my path. So I wanted to resonate with that. I grew up Catholic in a Catholic family and went to a Catholic school, and I jokingly have a bragging badge that I got kicked out of every religion class except for my senior high school year class, you know? Because I would always challenge and ask questions. And when I didn't get the answers, I was like, well, why are you testing me? But then when I went to Los Angeles, I had this whole period where I went to a different kind of church and denomination. I went to Buddhist temples. I just studied Kabbalah. I went to different Christian and Catholic churches and temples, all for the same thing, to find the nugget of truth that resonated with me, you know, which I think is very interesting that you did the same.
Yeah. And I do remember being about five, but between the age of 5 and 7, kind of going on my own. I used to play this game called Magic Garden, and I would
stop
in the town.
Stop.
Okay. What?
did you make potions and stuff?
Not at the time, but we lived in this beautiful, at the time, of old Victorian town on the shore here. Mm-hmm. And I used to illegally go to all the neighbors' gardens. So I think that's a little my Scorpio rising, you know, just.
I did the same thing. We would play like magic and witches, and we would take stuff from everybody's yard and garden and make, like, you know, mix it together and make potions. And oh my God, this is so, I think we have the same lives in different areas.
Yes. Yes. So I remember that time, you know, before you get really into the school of and now I feel like I'm back to that person again of now I'm back with the plants and the herbs so much. Yeah. And that's a big part of just returning to not only the physical, but also the spiritual, just seeing within me and the plants, reflecting this God or spirit or whatever word you want to use, opening up lines of communication. Yeah. I feel like all these, you know, all these years of just being in school or being conditions to live a certain, and now trying to come out of that conditioning and return back to a normal, what is normal lifestyle and holistic being.
Well, it's all about balance, right? Like it's balancing those two hybrid bodies, the physical with the energetic, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah. And coming through physical means and energetic means and so forth. I feel.
Yeah. And I do remember it being like in the 80s being like, I used to work in New York City. I worked at Merrill Lynch. It killed me. I thought, oh my God, I can't, everyone dressed the same. Everyone, there was no heart. I felt there. It was like a fear-based like lifestyle. Everyone thought they were going to lose their job at any moment. I'm like, this, what is going on? This is what people like aspire to. Right. So I really thought I had made a wish. I remember writing in my journal, like, I wish more people would go into massage, go into these, you know, healing modalities. And now it's kind of, it's here, right? I feel like, wow, right. Really, my dream has happened.
You wished it too.
Yeah. And still more to go, right? Still like more and more to go. But it's definitely an awakening. And I have connected. I do like, I have a meditation practice that I found in, I want to say 2017, that has deepened my connection to physical body, to light body.
Yeah.
That has really helped me, but also continue to learn and grow and teach what I learn. Through the studio, through classes, through astrology. Yeah.
And so do you have a particular, well, first of all, let's go back. What's the meditation practice? Is it a practice of someone else's or is it something you cultivated personally?
I join the Yogananda's group, Self-Realization Fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, that is just the best lesson and teachings that I've found also, but I do also like everything that Yogi Bhajan has taught, which is kind of like that's a whole nother method. So I guess I am kind of hybriding mm-hmm. myself or together in my own way. And also I'm learning the Tibetan kind of teachings as well. So I think, I've just tapped the surface of what there is to learn and do. And I just noticed too that now it's all coming together in the sense that people are putting together like the Western, Eastern, everything's like merging into one. We're not saying the Chinese medicine is the best or the Indian or the, it's all like, okay, let's all come together. Let's all create and learn from everybody.
Yeah.
See that happening.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like there's truth everywhere, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, and I've been teaching.
Yeah. Go ahead. How long have you been teaching?
I've been teaching since 2000 yoga, and I definitely use, like, I am definitely a channeling teacher. You know, I feel like I shut off me because I've gotten used to it, but I'm the last person that wants to be in front of everybody.
Sure.
I'm like, I did it at the time. Like I did it because like not a lot of people were doing it. And I was like, all right, I'll do this. And now a lot of people are doing it, but I'm still doing it. But I feel like, I definitely, to get in front of everyone and to speak and to present, I just shut off myself and I allow another energy to work through me 100%. I wouldn't be able to get in front of people if I didn't do that.
So is that, so you basically allow yourself to become a vessel for wisdom to come through. So, and then that's in your yoga teaching or in all modalities that you utilize or?
100%. I would say all modalities. I definitely used to it in the yoga teaching, been doing that for so long, but 100%, whether it's being an astrology reading or the tarot.
Yeah.
I just, I know.
And so what's your process of that? Since we're talking all things intuition. So first of all, would you call that intuition? And if not, how would you define intuition?
That's a good question. I would say, yeah, that's, yeah, yeah. I guess, good, quick question. Yeah, I guess maybe I'm not pushing myself aside so much. Maybe I'm working with spirit and me. And I think that's what we all need to do, work together to create this new or this something that hasn't been before. You're evolving in that way. You're working, whether it be with your spirit guides or your ancestors, angels. Again, the plant energies, the plants have come, are coming so strong to me and through me as allies, as, you know, helped, getting help in this world that we all need help, a little help from our friends, so to speak. I think intuition is being guided by good, you know, being, making that choice. I think every moment we have a choice to align with, whether you call it Christic energy, right? Mm-hmm. The Christ within. Every mm-hmm. moment you have a choice to raise the Christ within you. I'll use that word because I come from that like lineage of belief. But whatever word you want to give it, that once you align with good, then Christ has risen, or the good has, or God has risen, or you're good on earth. I know in the yogic philosophy that they teach that, and it kind of makes sense to me that we're in this place or loka or location, and loka in Sanskrit, that we have the blessing on earth to experience heaven or hell, that in the seven heaven realms above us, no hell, in the seven hell realms below us, no heaven. But in this location, we get to have both. So lucky, right? Lucky us that, you know, it's always, and it's a willful choice, and that we have a choice at any moment, no matter what we're experiencing, to decide or to perceive either.
Right. It's almost like an Instagram filter, right? So you can choose the positivity filter, or you can choose, you know, the fear-based filter to see the images, same images, different filter.
Yes. Yeah. Good way to put it. Yeah. I love how the world around us shows us really who we are. Like, I remember one of my, Dharma Mitra, one of my favorite yoga teachers, mm-hmm. he always said, like, you know, we're wireless. We're, as that computer system developed around us, it just reflected back who we are.
Yes, it's the, with the hermetic principle, as above, so below, as within.
Yeah.
So
below. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So using your intuition is, so this is something that I've been reflecting on, a lot lately, and that is that there are, speaking of this subject, there are two, there's one energy. There's one energy, and that energy is love and all of its sub-frequencies, right? So joy, peace, happiness, generosity, graciousness, gentle, you know? And mm-hmm. in order to see that, we have a dualistic world that incorporates fear and all of its sub-frequencies. Mm. And so the fear helps us see the light, and the light helps us see the fear. Right.
And well said. Yeah.
For me, the intuition is an element of light, and the ego is an element of fear. And we have such a fear-based society right now because we have more. So I also believe that in our hybrid being systems, our brain is our physical body brain, and our heart is our energetic body heart, you know, or, and you know what I mean by that? I guess, I don't know if that makes sense, but so the, you know, the master of the energetic body is the heart, and the master of the physical body is the brain. And we have so much more knowledge now. There's so much more information that the imbalance of physical to energetic, and I also think that's probably why the rise of all these energetic modalities is coming up to help with the balance, but it's creating a very, you know, anxiety-based society. you know, that pulls us off track. So going into these energetic modalities helps connect with that heart-centered brain or power system and with the intuition. But do you find, and I find myself doing this all the time, like, you know, when I'm teaching, I teach in a very similar way where I kind of intuitively what I call feel, see, feel, hear, meaning like I hear it through feeling and I see it through feeling what's going on with the students in order to sculpt the class a certain way, right? For what they need for balance, what yeah. I'm hearing come forward. But, you know, when the class is over, I, you know, just go back to my life and I find myself going down these neurotic pathways and like, and finding, you know, I find fear creeps back in. It's hard not to. So reminding myself of the intuitive element, the energetic element within me is it's a daily practice, and it's simple, but not easy, you know? So
yes,
my question to you is, do you have something like that? Or do you, you know, what is your process to go from being an intuitive vessel? Are you able to maintain it in everyday life? And if so, how? And if not, do you have guardrails that let you know where you're off?
Yeah, I have places I go that I, it's tough. I have a hard time maintaining that love. But that's really, that's it. Once the heart, Yogananda says that the heart does not know fear. So okay. If you're in your heart, there's no fear. So just even physically, energetically, just dipping back into the heart, kind of just putting your awareness into your heart, breath work. These are all ways. But yeah, I there's places I go that I feel it's hard to stay in that love. Mm. And so I try, I use everything, whether it be the essential yeah. oils.
Or, yeah.
The breath work or yeah. meditation or a call or the mantra. Mantras are really powerful yeah. To, you know, keep your mind on away from the fear. So all of that stuff. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you mentioned art in your in creative expression in your studio and why you cultivated it. And is that, are you an artist, or do you just like to use, because I find I was always when I was a kid, I was a drawer and a painter. I just love creative expression. It's just who I can't help myself.
Yeah.
And when I lost touch with my intuition, which it just kind of was like life layers until the next thing you know, you're buried and you don't recognize yourself. Right.
Yeah.
And then when you start peeling off those layers, right, like in reconnecting back to your intuition, for me, my creativity just sprung to life. And so for me, creativity is an access point to intuition and intuitive play. So I guess my question is how do you utilize that? And do you feel the same way about creativity?
Yeah, I feel the soul speaks. The soul is not linear. You know, we yeah. have such a linear culture. The mm-hmm. soul is not linear. The soul, it's like a dream. So it doesn't make sense sometimes. So that's kind of the thing with creativity. You can come out of that linear thinking. But I think all art, whether it be dance or song or mm-hmm. you know, readings, anything that, you know, all creativity is that divine feminine expression.
Mm. Shakti.
Yeah. So, and then you are co-creating that whole, you are a part of that if you choose. I think that it's so important to let each soul have its way to, mm-hmm. or many ways to express itself in whatever form that it feels like it wants to show.
Yeah.
Create. That's what this earth plane is about. That's what you see happening all around you every day through the plants again, through the birth of a child, everything through making of a meal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so what drew you, now I'm just going to take us back to astrology. So what drew you to astrology? Because the other, which is an energetic thing, but it's also kind of physical because we have the planets, right? We have physical bodies, but energy, it's like a hybrid, right? Like it's physical planetary bodies, but energetic qualities. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think there are archetypal energies that are available to us. You can speak about them in Jungian archetypes, or I think they called it the 12 something of Hercules. I was remembering. It's kind of like the same thing that's in every culture, whether you want to call it planets or what's available to us. Like when I was 18, I thought I was going to college. I thought, isn't there astrology here? Like, I guess it comes from past life. Like, I was like, why isn't there astrology at this college? Like, I didn't know. Yes. Like, why? I thought, isn't that part of the coursework? I was so naive and luckily found
NYU didn't have it, actually.
Yeah, I was like, and they still don't have it, but there's some schools in London that are university. I guess I was like, isn't this already, shouldn't this, why can't I thought I could study that. And I'm serious. And I
actually wanted to study herbology, but they didn't have it in DeKalb, Illinois. So I was like, why don't they have herbology as like an option?
Yeah. So that has to be, to me, a past life thing. Like where you just come in, why isn't this here?
Yeah.
And it really is this, no matter what you choose, it's all the same information, whether the plants are like the planets, it's the same thing. The planets are in the plants. It's the same word almost.
Yeah.
So you can go to like a Mars plant or a Venus plant or a sun plant. Mm. And so it's really all the same. It gets to be very almost basic, but yet... So I was lucky to find this guy, Bob Marks. I think he's still around, that said, hey, I want to, he used to wear a suit and he would teach, he taught us, he wanted to teach, students astrology to make it more, like a logical or more acceptable, I guess. Not that he was like this hippie. And then when I had like, I call it my early retirement. I kind of, when my dad died when I was 27. Mm. And after he died, I just was like, I watched him work his whole life, get sick and die. Never really, enjoyed a retirement or anything like that. So I thought, I'm not going to do this with my life. I'm not going to work and then die. And then, so I got rid of everything and I moved to Hawaii for 7 years.
Oh,
and and there too I searched for the plants and it was still like real hidden, they don't even get me started with that whole culture, but and I feel like I've had past lives there for sure. And then while in Hawaii I met an astrologer who I learned a lot from, I'd ask questions. He'd like, here, read this book. He had an amazing library. So I kind of apprenticed him and then got back to the States or, to the mainland and self-study. And then I took like a course. I love this one teacher. I took his course in 2017 just to, feel like I had an official certificate, so to speak. Right. But, you know, it's still, there's so much to learn. I'm just delving into the medical astrology. There's so much with that. It's amazing. It's amazing. And even they said, like, back in the day, if you were a physician, you were an astrologer. Like, it just, yeah, there's so much in the chart, you know, whether it be physical or mental or emotional. They say Carl Jung was an astrologer. That's, you know, his daughter carried on his that. So it just, you know, just seemed like a normal thing to me. I didn't know that it wasn't at the time. And now I love that. Yeah, it's everywhere. Like, it's so accessible. It's this whole internet thing is just, you know, there's the kids below us are, they already speak the language. Like, and even, you know, because in Hawaii too, there was more people from California. They were kind of ahead of us with, like, they knew at least some astrology, but it's like another language, right? And so, so whether and there's so much information in the chart. So I was always drawn to it. I can't say, it just seemed like, doesn't everybody know astrology? Right. Isn't this like,
well, it definitely sounds like you came in with some, you came in fully loaded in that department as far as a past life, right? Like, when you were like, okay, I'm going to finish my work now. Where are my resources? You know what I mean? I was going to say something and I cannot remember.
I feel like too, that my age, like, I do feel like a bridge between, you know, the older people and the younger people, where it's like, I feel like when I graduated college, we still hadn't, computers weren't really a thing. Like, mm-hmm. I remember typing, we had computers, but nobody was making you get on a computer. Right. I typed my last paper. I remember in the kitchen and sitting in the kitchen, typing with the whiteout, you know, I was typing. But I did have to go back and learn, you know, to be in the world, to learn computers and stuff. So I feel like I don't know if we're the same age, but I do feel like, we're that bridge between, you know.
I do feel that way. I think, isn't there, what's the planet that, isn't there a planet that's that does generations? Is that Pluto, or is it that it's kind of like a generational planet? Is it Pluto?
There's
three.
It's Pluto right now. Pluto, Uranus, and Neptune are generational.
And so feel like they take so long. Is that why?
Yeah, they take long through a sign. Uranus is the quickest. Yeah.
But I do feel like if we're in the same generation or not with that, I do feel my generation, and hearing you say it now just echoes what I've been experiencing is that you know, I'm looking at the older generation, which is, well, like my parents. My parents were very young when they had me, but they're like in the baby boomer generation. And there's so much fear in them. But that was, a lot of it was from the generation prior, you know, which was war generation, even more fear, right? But then you look at the generations younger, and they're coming in speaking astrology, talking tarot. They're like, and no big deal. You know, there are no hangups about it. There is no, there are other things. I think they're going, in some cases, maybe going a little far on the labeling, which to me is separating people more than conjoining them or connecting. But, and that's not every place. I'm just, you know, I see that because society now is one big marketing thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And in order to market something, you have to label it and package it and, you know, have a brand. And, but it also, then you limit it too. But anyway, that's a whole nother discussion. But the point is I feel like our generation is kind of, it's bridging the gap. It's like, it's the spiritual seekers. We're kind of the ones that are opening up the door, you know, for this next generation to just come in, you know, basically balls out and be like, yeah, I'm a spiritual being. What's up? You know? Hello.
Yes. Yes. I'm here. Yeah. It's, we're bridging for sure. So I do have a lot of students who are older, and also younger, but yeah, I feel like I can assist them in, you know, whether it be, if it's going to be the transition to death, and then also life. But yeah, that, the younger, the next age coming in, you know, is the Aquarian age. Yes. Although astrologers do say that it's not real, we're really just on the cusp, but that this is not going to happen for another 100 years, the true shift.
The true
so Aquarian. We're in that. Yeah, it doesn't start for another about 100 years.
That's the word on the astrology street?
Yeah, where people say we're in it. Some, no, we're not in it yet, but we are setting the stage, you know, for that, which the Aquarian age will be an age of experiencing divine, where we're coming out of Piscean age. That is where you just had to believe.
Yeah.
You may not have had an experience, but believe. But now as things change in the ether, that it will be more of, and yoga says, Yogananda says, if you are, usually peace is the first emanation, right? If you're experiencing peace, you are yoked, you are joined with divine.
Right.
And then after that, it's the love and the bliss and the joy, all of that. So just remembering that, that's the main thing. That's it.
I have one last question for you. You ready, Kirsten?
Yeah. Okay.
Do you feel like, well, I believe everyone has a purpose. Do you know what your purpose is and how are you activating it?
Well, you know, I do look at the chart for direction. And in my own chart, I have, and we look at one of the most important things are what are called the moon's nodes. Mm. So I was born in a nodal axis of Scorpio, coming from Scorpio, going to Taurus.
Oh,
and so that
we have the flip of each other.
Yeah. We're probably 9 years apart. Would that be? Yeah. So we're good. We're good for each other. So, I do know that the grounded passion, or passion being Scorpio, grounding being Taurus, is what I need to do. And I also need to partner with people and not do everything by myself, because I have a first house, seventh house polarity. Mm. I feel like I look back, I can't believe I've been teaching places. 2004 is when I kind of started teaching in the area that I'm in now, and I'm still teaching. I can't believe it. It's been 20 years. I feel like I just started.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, I definitely met my grounded passion, mm-hmm. where I didn't move around. I didn't move around because I've definitely moved around a lot in my life. I've done things which is following the Mars cycle, 2.5 years. I'm like, let me try this. Oh, I don't like this. Let me try this. Oh, I don't like, I've been almost in every industry.
Yeah.
And that's not always good to switch, you know, but so I do feel like, wow, I got my grounded passion. I met that. I'm still evolving. So yeah, I feel like I fulfilled that mission of, wow, oh my God, I've been teaching the same places for 20 years. That's Taurus.
That's amazing.
And doing something soul transformational, which is Scorpio, right?
Yeah.
Or something that you're passionate about, or helping others kind of meet, just helping others to feel good, which is part of aligning with spirit, right? With, which is what you said, to be in love. So I feel like I'm on the next, and we opened in 2011. I'm in my second, which is the Jupiter cycle, 12 years. I'm in my second Jupiter cycle. So now I do need to, and also the studio, like, I can't believe over the years I've stuck with that. Like, it's just, wow. It's unbelievable for me, for someone who, like I said, had pretty much changed every 2.5 years. But now, so I have this base where I can still expand and grow from. And yeah, not sure where the herbs are going to take me. I'm open. That's an interesting that you wanted to study herbalism, right?
Mm-hmm. I did. I still like do it as a hobby. I love plant medicine. I love it. It just makes us so, I've just been ruminating on the word Santosha a lot lately, and I've been introduced, I teach a lot in Chicago public schools. And so I've been introducing it to the students, that word and what it means, which is contentment, and that you have everything that you need always. You're always provided for, there's no reason to worry or to yearn or to regret. You have everything you need. That's hard to do. To do that, simple but not easy. But the plants are another reinforcement of that. We have everything.
And that school system is another kind of environment for me, depending on where you are, where it's like, wow, it's hard for me to be in that space because it isn't natural, right? Mm-hmm. And there's sometimes you're situations where like, wow, if I did bring a plant in here, it wouldn't grow because there's not natural light or, so how can you put a person in here? When those systems are being altered, we know those big systems, because they don't fit. They don't fit the evolution. They're not going to make it into the Aquarian age.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Everything is... Change is the only constant, right?
So, yes, definitely. And when you said the Santosha, it reminded me of, and to live in, you have everything that you need. It reminds me of the, is it Eben Alexander? Do you know his work, Dr. Eben Alexander?
No.
Who wrote Proof of Heaven. He wrote Proof of Heaven, and he had a near-death experience, which was so beautiful, the way he explains it, that he saw a woman riding a big butterfly and said to him exactly that, you have everything that you need, there's nothing to fear, and you are eternally loved. And I always think that, and sometimes teach that if you don't believe that in your heart, you have to rewrite your own heart, your own disc, right? Yeah. You have to reboot the system. And that's always a constant reminder. And it turns out in that story that he was adopted, and that woman was his predeceased sister riding that butterfly.
Wow.
It's a crazy story. Yeah. And he, since then he interviewed hundreds of nurses and doctors who have also talked to patients who have had near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting work, right?
Yeah.
Again, bridging those places.
That's, I think, a perfect place to end our talk. Yeah. That visual. I love that visual. Thank you so much, Kirsten, for joining me. If you are in New Jersey, you can visit Kirsten in her beautiful studio, Hana Yoga, in Barnegat, New Jersey. What's a good email for you, Kirsten, if anyone was looking to you for, say, astrology or any of the other modalities you're an expert in?
Oh, thank you. It's Kirsten, KIRSTEN, @ Hanu Yoga, HANUYOGA.com.
Where does that come from, Hanu Yoga? I see the turtle. Turtle is your little logo. Is that from Hawaii?
It's so funny because actually turtle is Hono, and I've gotten people over the years, you spelled turtle wrong. I'm like, no. Because Hanu is the Hawaiian word for breath, Hanu.
Oh.
But also, Hanu. But it's also a marma point, which the marma points are India. There's 108 marma points that are healing points. So it's the point, it's just below your lower lip. It's in the center on your chin. If you press there,
oh yeah,
that's Scorpio point. It's courage and passion. Hanu, because really? Hanu means jaw. So it's that part of the, so I'm like, oh yeah, jaw yoga. No, but yeah. And that's the Marma point.
I love that. And I did not know that. And I'm again, that's, you've just touched on another one of my hobbies, which is acupressure and Marma therapy. And
yeah, the Marma.
I think we were sisters in another life.
Yeah, right. Yeah, learn the Marmas for sure. Mm-hmm. And the Varmas, which are the points that, you know, those are the deadly points. There's a few Varma points.
Yeah.
So yeah, these are all, and it's in the Chinese medicine, it's in Tibetan, all of those things. Yeah. So
it's like we are little, it's almost like at one point I had this visual that we were like little robots in a way, and that the acupuncture, acupressure, Marma points are like the manual to operating function for the physical body and energetic, really, because they kind of connect both, don't they?
Yeah, they said that they taught the Marmas too, not only for topical healing, but also for surgery. They knew that if you cut into those Marma points, mm-hmm. you wouldn't heal as well. So it is, they're like these big energy crossroads in the body.
Well, I saw that they would not, they would also not, like, either, I don't know if it was muscles or tendons or whatever, but on the Marma points during surgery and then leave it there. You know what I mean? Like, so it would be an extra pressure point on the Marma point. Have you seen that?
No, like, what do you mean? Like, hold the point while they're.
Yeah. So when I was initially reading about Marma therapy, some book that I had, this is now years ago in my 20s, and it was a surgical Marma therapy book. Like, it would talked about the surgery aspect of it, and that,
yeah, I mean,
they would mm-hmm. not, I guess it would be like, it was either like, I don't know if you can knot tendons or muscles. I don't know what it was, but that they would make the knot on the Marma point and then, you know, sew the body back up. So that it was like an internal consistent acupressure. I feel like that's what I read. Now, it was a while ago, so I could be inaccurate about that.
Yeah, that makes sense that they knew these were energy. They're little chakras, really, little chakras all over the body.
Yeah.
That if, you know, you want to avoid cutting them.
Right.
Because it's a major, major intersection of everything. So, yeah.
So Kirsten is going to be joining us in the C3 monthly meditation meetup group. And we are going to be looking, that's on the 28th of May. And we are going to be looking at, that is when the moon is full and in Sagittarius. And we are going to be looking at my mission is the theme for this meetup. So we're going to intuitively look at what our soul is calling us forward to do as our mission or purpose in life. And then Kirsten is going to look at our charts and help us understand through an astrological lens what our astrology chart is guiding us towards. So if you're interested in learning more about that or joining us, you can email me at info@magnetizeyourlife. Or get more information under the community tab on my website, magnetizeyourlight.com. And thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, Kirsten, for this is wonderful. I want to keep talking to you. Like, we have to have more
so
of these.
Fun.
Yeah.
Uncommon, for sure.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon. And big buckets of love. Take care.